Hard Knock Radio. Yeah, we're rocking with Picasso.
What?
And Maya.
Who?
And my last name is Susana. Yeah, yeah.
Daniel Kaluuya. Judas and the Black.
Chairman Fred Jr. and Mama Kua, thank you so much for allowing us into your life and into your story. Thank you for trusting us, you know, with your truth. Appreciate you deeply, and it's an honor to partner up and stand side by side with you. And to Chairman Fred Hampton, bro, man, what a man. What a man. How blessed we are that we lived in a lifetime where he existed. Do you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, thank you for your light. He was on this earth for 21 years. 21 years, and he found a way to feed kids breakfast, educate kids, give free medical care against all the odds. He showed me, he taught me, him, Huey P. Newton, Bobby Seale, the Black Panther Party, they showed me how to love myself. And with that love, they overflowed it to the Black community and to other communities. And they showed us that the power of union, power of unity, that when they play divide and conquer, we say unite and ascend. Thank you so much for sharing me myself. And yeah, man, there's so much work to do, guys. And that's on everyone in this room. This ain't no single man job. That's some real. And I look to everyone, every single one of you. You got work to do. You know what I'm saying?
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. I've been wanting to talk to this brother ever since the movie Judas and the Messiah came out. That is the story that focuses, or at least one part of the story that focuses on Fred Hampton, leader of the Black Panther Party back in 1967, 68, 69. Wanted to talk to his son, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., especially after we saw the actor who played his dad, you know, got an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. A lot of conversation has ensued. And more importantly, this was more than just a movie, but it was an act of love when you consider so many people who have been on this show, who have been knee-deep in the freedom struggle, from Rosa Clemente to Turhock to Fred himself and his mother, all played key roles in guiding and developing this film. So, Chairman Fred, you know, welcome to the show. And last night I got to see you hang out with Daniel. And I'm always going to butcher his last name, so I'll let you say his last name. The actor who played your dad. And you all seem like you have good camaraderie there. And, you know, not that the Oscars should be the benchmark for what's successful and what isn't, at least as far as our community is concerned. Nevertheless, it was good that the world got to see that movie get acknowledged. So how you doing this morning?
I'm good. Well, spirits, I'll say this. My spirits are high. You know, I've been nonstop. You just came, literally came right in Philadelphia from April 24th for Long Hill political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal, who was a former deputy misinformation for the Black Panther Party, came straight in L.A. About to head back to Philly in regards to this recent revelations in regards to Penn State and other universities utilizing, I'm using that word too nice, too loosely, but I'm going to say that the remains of the children, not of the move, you know, technically speaking of the move children, but our community's babies. And I'm going to head back there in regards to help bring exposure to that, my comrades, but as well as dealing with day-to-day, the continuous case of police terrorism. But it's a certain feeling just to be, you know, saying continuously be fighting back. You know, being oppressed is never a good feeling. But again, just fighting, you know, continuous fight back is good. You mentioned the brother Daniel Kaluuya, Uganda, raised in London, and just, you know, go to the heart of right now. What's been such a phenomenal discussion in regards to his acceptance speech at the Oscars. Prior to that, so early on in the initial meeting, you know, I had with him, Dominique Fishback, who portrayed Deborah Johnson, not only Zakuwa and Jerry. And I'm meeting literally, you know, so we initially at the Hampton House, the house which Chairman Frey, I think, grew up in. Then we got after several hours, I think about 7-8 hours. I said, you know, let's go to my other office, my main office, and that'd be in the streets. And we eventually went to area known as K-Town. This is around 1:30 in the morning. And this was not, you know, set. It was just set. In fact, I recall asking them to Google, ask Siri, pull up the worst neighborhood in Chicago. And I believe it was Shaka King that Googled and came up with this area, which 11 people, approximately 11 people, were literally just shot. And I remember, you know, and I said, oh, let's go. You know, there was, you know, people, there was some discussions about what, you know, what the studio would say, so on and so forth. But I recall, you know, Charles King of Macro. I remember, you know, when we rolled, again, it was probably approximately 1:30 in the morning. And I, you know, and Daniel, Dominique, my comrades, went out there. And to put it lightly, the block was still hot. It was literally blood still on the ground. And I recall, you know, Daniel's response, Dominique's response. I talked about such things as about, you know, the police, Chicago police destroying the memorials, the makeshift memorials the people had. And, you know, I like this term, the comedic genius Richard Pryor, you know, used. In fact, it was the term he referenced as a peopleologist, studying people. And it should be noted that, you know, Richard Pryor also was heavily impacted by the Black Panther Party. And a lot of people say that, you know, but the deal is, you know, it was shown with Richard Pryor. And I'm going to say this. That was not just a one night, you know, stance, a one night show of respect with Daniel Kaluuya with the acceptance of the Oscars. Acknowledging his peers, acknowledging his people, his family, you know, acknowledging the impact of an organization that shook the world, the Black Panther Party. And there are people, you know what I'm saying, who, as we say in the Black Panther Party Cubs, who are black when it's beneficial, play Panther when it's profitable, or connect with Cubs when it's comfortable. It's the deal is you can the reverence, respect, and the title, the structure is shown. You know, there was no cliff notes. And, you know, what I'm saying, his brother just took, and you know, I recall, you know, just and it was a tour of duty. You know, so now only myself and other comrades. You know, this is no easy task. I still jump up at night time sometimes saying cut, stop. Struggles that we have, you know, on the set, but however, because the reality is there are cases when political positions contend or clash with, you know, creative input, so on and so forth. But the form that, you know, coming to that points of unity, you know, and then to see the ever develop, the everlasting, you know, what I'm saying, again on December 4th, International Revolutionary Day, it's not unusual, you know, saying, to get calls from, you know, from Daniel, Dominique, you know, saying. And definitely, you know, saying, you know, prior to that, you know, Ryan Cooper, Zinzi, which, you know, our relationship that, you know, predates that. I recall, you know, situations where, you know, on the set, in fact, November 13th, the quote unquote anniversary, you know, of assassination of Spurgeon J. Woodless, the serious struggles we had in it. And, you know, our field marshal, on a central committee, field marshal, Tor Harkin, you know, just how we are. I would just say this, that struggle, you know, as I said earlier, to make sure that, you know what I'm saying, that the political, the respect of this respective organization that many people say they know about, that they really, you know, when they come down to contested conditions, a lot of people don't know about, but, you know, really, the legacy and the respect of the legacy coming into place, coming to importance, and I just, this is a case where the rubber meets the road, and you can see it again. I did an interview yesterday, and some people said, with a radio station in Chicago, they said, well, you know, we were kind of concerned at first when Daniel started speaking that it's going to be the usual, people just acknowledge, you know, the industry, so on and so forth. And I said, I had no concern, this brother, these forces have been consistent. I've been the case with families we work with, you know, so a lot of people are fearful not to acknowledge the Black Panther Party Cubs in their own home setting around their children. There's a case of an individual was 50 years old in Maywood right now to say Maywood, the place which Chairman Freer had to grow up in. He said to me, he was at the movie theater watching the movie. He was explaining what's going to happen. His parents, his mother, father, his wife, his children were there. And his father asked him, how do you know all these upcoming scenes, you know, saying, or at least a vague familiarity, or what's about to occur? The brother told him, he said, I talked to his son, I talked to his widow, Deborah Johnson, not on school, Jerry. Then, with tears swelled up in his eyes, he said to me, the 50-year-old man, he asked his father, why didn't I know this before? And his father told him, son, we just wanted peace. This has been therapeutic. And it's ongoing. And, you know, again, it's the legacy. I grew up in a climate in which every other year, if not more than that, there was reactionary responses that the ruling class gives us. Let me say it again: reactionary responses the ruling class gives our community to say, "Well, it's the Occupy movement. Is that that's the Black Panther Party? That's the Black Panther Party? Is this organization? Is this that? This that?" When the Black Panther Party comes, it literally been in the face, you know, on the ground. That's
it,
no humbleness.
Real talk. You know, let me ask you this. We're in 2021. Are you satisfied with the way movements are going right now, with the formations that are taking place? What do you think is missing? What do you like about them, if anything?
Well, let me preface with this. I believe it was the late great billionaire minister UEP Newton that has stated that a revolutionary is never satisfied. Let me preface with that. However, I will say this. There are necessary stages and processes that we have to go through, you know what I'm saying? And have to understand that, you know, in regards to respect and struggle. I mean, we definitely wish we could press fast forward, you know what I'm saying, and just go past. You know, not these necessary conditions and contradictions, but however, even, you know, so whether it be the contradiction of neocolonialism, white power disguised in black faces, white power disguised in brown faces, whatever the case, but I believe it was Kwame Nkrumah, or maybe Amir Cabral, who was accredited to this quote, that said that neocolonialism is the last stage of capitalism. These are necessary dynamics, you know what I'm saying? These are, situations, like even as we presently speak, you can, I think it's important to note, one of the leaps and bounds that should be acknowledged in the stage of struggle is that, and in many cases, it's like a tug and pull. That being that important entity that we're fighting for. Now, see, we're the Black Panther Party, Black Panther Party Cubs, and several other organizations, several other people, but it's not be taken as a given that everyone is fighting for this. That precious entity of self-determination. That example, in contrast, when we are murdered, in contrast to when we are snatched up and kidnapped, that precious entity that we're fighting for in response to all the conditions in our community, where the added insult to the injury is when the ruling class brings out their state sanctioned spokespersons. And say, this is who speaks for you. This is your representative. But to see a climate of mothers and fathers, you're saying, that you're saying, whether it be on social media, the people directly speaking for themselves, not necessarily in the Queen's or the King's English, but speaking for themselves. That's we see it's a constant battle for that. You know, so we get phone calls from, you know, funerals, and people say, Chandler, how is these same usual suspects being placed in front of us? It's a continuous battle. Even with this movie, one of the great things that must be pointed out, even regards to this movie, the follow-up. Of course, you're going to have to use the same setup, the same usual situations. I mean, it's not by coincidence that, you know, this is not a subjective statement. I'm saying that whether it be the Amy Goodman's of Democracy Now, whatever, they don't talk. You know, they're not talking to Akua Jerry and Chairman Fred Hampton of the Black Panther Party. They grab certain people. This has been the modus operandi that, in many cases, people even think they don't even see it as unusual. What they'll say, who is raised up to speak for us? But on this every situation, the actors that are there, the producers, script writers involved in the process, you see a continuous respect for the widow, the comrade, the Chairman Fred, continuous, you know what I'm saying, for the family, for the Black Panther Party. You see in the acceptance speech of Daniel Kaluuya not speak about Chairman Fred in a subjective sort of way. How it impacted his life, you know what I'm saying, tied into the context of not even physically seeing him, but you seen the articulation, the reflection of Chairman Fred that many people that physically was around or that was in that organization cannot objectively put it in context in regards to that of connecting the minister, the founders of the Black Panther Party, Minister UEP Newman, Chairman Bobby Seale, in this organization that shook the world, that caused, you know what I'm saying, had the ire of the most powerful law enforcement agency in this country, not the world, declared him as the number one threat to the internal security since that of the Civil War.
You know, when the movie came out, there were attempts to undermine it. And it was a little annoying, at least where I sit, because I know, you know, that first phone call to Ryan Coogler. I know the struggles and the back and forth and, you know, and the work that you all did on the set to try and present it. Did you feel annoyed when people were speaking on your behalf? There were some people that were saying, well, why is a guy from the UK playing Fred Hampton? That should be him. Others were saying, well, they didn't like the direction of the plot, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, these were discussions that, you know, that early on that I know you all were dealing with. How did you take this? You know, it seems like you and Daniel became good friends. And as you said, he was really impacted by that. But when people start to speak on behalf, even after they're told, the family, the mom, the wife was on set every day. And yet people will still try to project their own political position on, you know, your dad and your family when you all are involved. How did you feel about that? I mean, was there validity to some of the points made, or were people just pushing their own agenda, even with you all involved?
A combination, you know, one, feelings, a combination of two. Whether it be nefarious intent, or some people just with the Panther Party referring to as murder mouthing, you know. So you have to be able to decipher a lot of these different dynamics. In other words, I'm real. I get 99 calls every morning from different people. So, oh, the system is this, and I'm ready to get involved. Let's have a one day revolution. So I said, okay, meet me here at this courthouse. Meet me. At the police station where your son is locked up. Maybe at the site where your daughter was murdered at by the police. And that cuts a lot of the fat from the meat. In other words, a lot of people say things, you know, say, because again, one of the setbacks we say with this struggle, many people think it's easy. So when you call for those contested conditions, a lot of people say, as we say, back away from the table. So, but the deal is, in some cases, some situations as well, as some people have to be utilized as soundboards. We must heighten these contradictions, because the deal is, it taps into emotions and feelings, and you know, some legitimate, some not legitimate, some state sanctioned, some simply reactionary. You know, since, you know, some sincere, but the deal is, you know, we in service of the people. It's not about, you know, our personal subjective, how we feel. I use the analogy in many cases. I said, if you ask a woman what she would do, that's what she would do for her children. You liable should get a different answer. What I engage in and what I do for the movement. You know, say I'm a different dynamic. You know, I mother comrade of Cora Jerry. I remember one case I was literally physically close to the end, like physically sick. You know, say just from going through some back and forth struggles. And you know, and then the same comrade, my A1 from day one, Cool and Jerry, from was Deborah Johnson. You know, when the call came down, you know, you have to, you know, say, be on the set. You know, anyone that's seen her husband taken in the infamous Menard prison, to seen her in the infamous Menard prison, without, you know, saying, without a second thought, on point. When, you know, saying, when the word came through our central committee, you know, saying, for representative, you know, saying, to be on set, you know, so I'm coming back to the hotel, you know, I mean, I feel Marshall Torg, you know what I'm saying, was on, you know what I'm saying, right there. So the deal is, there's a, how people look at, some people look at how certain people do service for the system, service for the state, when they call in, you know, so the National Guard or whatever, particular armed forces. This the deal is, we have to, for this legacy, you know what I'm saying, it's a crazy as it sounds. You know what I'm saying? It's a love for it. I know what it's done for me. You know what I'm saying? I really, what Daniel Kaluuya said, what he said, I tell people we fight so hard for this here. I can politically lay out, you know what I'm saying, the before and after scenarios in so many cases, whether it be actors catching the streets, so on and so forth. And the deal is, we came in, and with all the struggles, we up there. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was just, even, you know what I'm saying, Daniel, Algie, the whole, I mean, the cast, it was, you know what I'm saying, it's certain discussions that must happen that, you know what I'm saying, that you're not just going to have on a theoretical basis or context. So these are necessary situations and struggles that, you know what I'm saying, have to happen. And as Minister UEP News said, that contradictions are the ruling principle of the universe. Contradictions are the ruling principle of the universe. And I'm not a dictator. We come in recognizing that there are different viewpoints, and we have to acknowledge that, you know, certain struggles that are happening now, either in a quote unquote struggle, are necessary so people can go back and people who have taken a position under a more privileged position, who said they don't like to relate to the structure, or, you know, so you see the conditions that they're calling for that now. They said it's important we distinguish who this person is, what this group is. We could lay back and say, now you say that. But the deal is, we check the resumes of people who have been taking consistent positions throughout certain times. Back, we relate to the axiom: more work in peacetime, less work in wartime.
Real talk. Let me ask you this as we get ready to close up. You know, with respect to the Oscar, Daniel Kaluuya was nominated, but also Keith, who played William O'Neill. Keith is an incredible actor. He said that he was sickened at one point of playing that role. You know, it was triggering. How did you feel, you know, with him? What was your relationship like with him? How triggering was, you know, seeing that character come to life, knowing what he did to your dad?
Well, first of all, I'll go with the latter part, of the question. How crazy as it sounds, I'm armed with the politics. We are armed with the politics. That comes in objectively. It doesn't. You think it's subjectively. In other words, you have very rarely, if have ever heard me say the police killed my dad. You have heard me say the United States government assassinated Chairman Fred. The deal is that is that, you know, the opposition was and remains to be. William O'Neill was not the only one. Mm-hmm. William O'Neill did not operate in the vacuum. You know what I'm saying? And so the deal is to put this in, and again, not being liberal or not, you know, not social or, you know what I'm saying, okay, well, you know, the criminality of the character of William O'Neill's role, but again, to put the similar to when we talk about even assassinations of Chairman Fred Fisker and Lamar Clark, to heighten the context so people can look at this and say, wait a minute, this I see this in one form or another, in one degree or another, in my, you know what I'm saying, in my respective community. And to go to the particulars of your question, I recall on the set in many cases, not only the Keiths, I would touch and go. I would say certain things, you know what I'm saying, to lay out certain political dynamics. However, I'm real big about respect. I'm a revolutionary, and I know that even there's a certain mode I go into, you know, so when I'm organizing, and I, you know, so each of these individuals, their respective art, you know, so I'm big about structure and respect. I would, you know, say touch and go, and there were cases, I recall one situation in particular, where comrades, members of the Black Panther Party, came down on the set. And subconsciously, I think, you know, I speak for them. They the way that they moved, so, you know, automatic was on security, like for Dominique Fishback and others, and how they moved the chairs back, you know, with the Keith stands for his chair. And I had called for the emergency political education right there on set. I said, listen, everyone, let's deal with this. And I was talking, and I think it was one of the moments that really kind of hit the Keith as well as others, the impact of, who O'Neill, his character, and, you know what I'm saying? And I was saying that this is, this is not only what they refer to in the movie industry as a period piece, but it's a relevant piece, because even the case of O'Neill directly, you know, was involved, you know what I'm saying, with such cases, recently, like last week and a half, released political prisoner Jerry Odinga Dunnigan, who has been out there 45 plus years. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so I see there are a lot of emotions here. But also, we got to be cautious again. He also, as Daniel has said in regards to the Keith portrayal, you also have to see who Chairman Fred was not, to really respect to see who he was. This also was, you know, a necessary a part. And it's not just on the movie screen, but in struggle. You know what I'm saying? People would just say, well, I just want to know about the good stuff. I went to the, me and my mother, we're not just the consultants, you know what I'm saying, for this piece and of this movie. We have took the bus, public transportation, to William O'Neill's funeral. Our comrades, we have been up to Edward B. Hanahan's funeral. You know what I'm saying? To show our disrespects. Again, to show our disrespects. Glove Davis. So we're consistent with this. You know what I'm saying? The good, the bad, and the ugly. A lot of people talk about the Black Panther Party and they hear about it, you know what I'm saying, in regards to all the leather jackets, the berets. We know about the situation with the apartment with Chairman Fred and Deborah Johnson stated that there was no hot running water. Consistent struggles. Being suspended from school, being placed in isolation, or just acknowledging Chairman Fred. This is some of the dynamics that goes along with this. So again, the role the toll that, you know what I'm saying, I can't even imagine, you know what I'm saying, even your guys with him, you know what I'm saying, because I've said before, just in general, with thespians, I said, man, Denzel Washington, how, you know, going into different minds, to different individuals, that's a hell of a thing, you know, how they, you know, deal with that. But overall, you know what I'm saying, again, this is there's certain forces, there's certain discussions that have to happen. And also, let's be very clear, a lot of, you know what I'm saying, if it's presented straight up through the door, this is bam, Chairman Fred Hampton, period. It's going to be, just being Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., the difficulties that come with just even having that conversation. There are certain times I have to go through certain media outlets just to deal with certain forces to get certain, you know, certain things out. So, I, you know, to get this to a main screen, big screen situation, there was a lot of struggles, and even, you know, there was some contradictions, struggles that we had, even how William O'Neill was summed up, you know. And I'll just say this, like, in particular, our position is that William O'Neill did not commit suicide. Our position is that the government took him out.
Real talk. You know, we talked at the beginning, and I said, you know, I think the importance of a film like this is that it would give people an opportunity to really know and further discuss the work that your father and the party did at that time. I was happy to see the relationships that he developed with the street organizations, commonly called gangs. I'm glad they depicted that and showed how there were, you know, those moves to unify and politicize. I was happy seeing the presentation of the Rainbow Coalition. I was happy to see the love that he showed towards your mom, you know, throughout the film. I thought, you know, for a lot of people that never knew your father, I think this was a good entry point. And I'm glad that you and your mom are around to fill in the gaps, you know, and take people further down the road. And I'm glad that, you know, you all had that experience and were able to really, you know, struggle and, you know, get something that I think is, you know, it's undeniably a project that people could look at and say, you know, job well done. You know, it's a continuum of the many things that need to be touched. So, you know, that's my thoughts on it, Chairman Fred. We appreciate you taking time out. Big shout out to you, your mom. We're going to take a break here on Hard Knock Radio. Thank you for joining us this afternoon and sharing your insights and congratulations. I'll say it from my perspective. It was a job well done. You all did the damn thing. And I remember right from the beginning to the end, it was a struggle, but you all did it. And that deserves some props and acknowledgments. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.